Now, author, podcaster and brand new mother Caroline Forn joins us on the line now to chat about the reality of those newborn days versus the expectation. Caroline, it is lovely to chat to you.
Catherine, thank you so much for having me.
Listen, I was looking at your gorgeous, gorgeous little boy, Kaelin, on Instagram. And I'm pronouncing it right, haven't I,
Kaelin?
He's 10 weeks. I won't lie, the ovaries did a little somersault. I was just like, that is the cutest.
He's absolutely gorgeous. I know I'm probably biased, but he is very, very criminally cute,
He is. How are you feeling? How are you doing? 10 weeks in.
I'm doing much better now. I think for the first few weeks, I was inside out, upside down. I didn't know what. I feel like I keep saying to people, I knew that I was pregnant, but nobody told me that I was going to have a baby at the end of it. And I feel a lot better now. The hormones and everything have settled down. I've had obviously 10 weeks to kind of adjust. And I feel mad even saying that, because this is something people, women do all day, every day, all over the world. And here I am saying it like it's a big deal, but I didn't realize how big a deal it actually is for you as an individual when you've never done it before.
Mm. And when you go through it for the first time, nobody, I think, can prepare you for it. It is the biggest deal, and it is the biggest deal in your whole world when you're going through it for the first time. And I did that as well, going, well, millions of women have done this for centuries. But when it's your first time, there's nothing that can prepare you for it. And I suppose, like, people will know you from your work. You've got two best-selling books, Owning It and The Confidence Kit. You have been so profoundly brilliant in your honesty over the years, talking about anxiety, not just with the books, with the podcast as well, and really coming at it from an angle of somebody who's not a professional, just like, this is my experience, this is what's happened to me. So with your pregnancy, you know, how did you manage with your anxiety and the build up to giving birth? You said you kind of didn't really think about becoming a mom, but how did you manage in the kind of the 9 months?
I actually found, from an anxiety perspective, I was quite okay in pregnancy, apart from morning sickness really crippled me. I found that very, very difficult. But I was so, you know, when you're in the thick of it, I had nothing, I could do nothing but just get on with it at that point. And then for me, the big event was giving birth. And I just thought, if I can get through that, I can, no matter, like, whatever about what happens next. And people would say to me, oh, the fourth trimester, that's, you know, that's a real thing. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Once I have the baby, I'm home and dry and with my baby at home and my husband, and I'll be fine. So for me, the big anticipation was the labor. And I remember when I was in labor, feeling so oddly calm, because I was so proud of myself that I was there and I was doing it. And this was something that I was scared, you know, every woman is scared of going into labor, and because, you know, there's so many variables, so many different ways it can go. Obviously you hope for the best, and I was very fortunate that I had a very, very good labor. It was a very nice, positive experience for me, apart from the fact that I was, you know, it was in COVID and I didn't have my partner with me until I actually was ready to push. He wasn't able to come in, so that was a bit distressing. But that was kind of where the anxiety for me, I thought, was going to stop, but really wasn't until I was left on my own in the hospital room with a tiny baby and no partner, and the hormones that just start to flood out of your body after all that pregnancy. That's really when the kind of postnatal anxiety hit me, and I was so frightened, because I thought there was something so wrong with me, because why wasn't I feeling this incredible love, blissful bubble that everyone talks about? That's all I saw on Instagram, and I was like, I'm a monster, or what, there's something fundamentally wrong here.
Because what did you feel?
I felt incredibly terrified. I felt also pressure that this pressure probably coming from myself more than anything, but I was expecting to literally have the baby come out and I would feel, people say, like, I love like nothing you've ever felt before. And it took me a while to feel that. I was really intimidated by the whole thing. I felt like I didn't have a, you know, everyone feels like they don't have a clue what to do, but everyone says the love will just take over and get you through. And I was like, I don't feel it yet. Or I felt like I had to get to know the baby. Thankfully now, I mean, I'm surprised he has any cheeks left. I've kissed them off so much, but it took me a while to get there. So between the feeling, the anxiety about not having an instant connection, the anxiety about not knowing what to do and having this massive responsibility suddenly thrust upon you. And for me, it was very much a physical anxiety. So the hormones, I was pumping sweat. I had all these shakes and stuff. I didn't realize all these things could happen, from like the epidural would make you, you know, they pump so much liquid into you to keep you going. It then has to all come out. So for me, I was literally drowning in sweat for weeks afterwards. And I was on Instagram saying, is this just me? And everyone was like, no, actually me too. But again, I had no idea. So then I was having all these shivers and things, and I thought that was an infection, had to go back into hospital. I was fine, apart from the fact that I was just really shell-shocked, and hormonally it was going to take a couple of weeks for that adjustment to settle down. And I guess maybe with my predisposition towards anxiety, I thought, oh God, this means something so much worse. And I just couldn't believe that I'd get to a point where I wouldn't feel that kind of untethered. And it's kind of mad, really, if you think about it, that we go through labour, we go through something that's, you know, hours on end, quite a massive ordeal for your body physically, and then you just get handed a tiny baby to go home. You don't get to recover or have any rest. So it's huge.
I remember standing, bawling my eyes out when we had Ellie up on the car seat, up on the kitchen table, and we'd come out of the hospital and we'd gone at night time and got home, put her on the kitchen table, and I just looked and I felt no connection, and I felt it was so alien to see her sitting there, because kind of in the hospital, because you're in that environment and there's so much to do and you're trying to feed and you're trying to sleep and there's nurses around and everyone's trying to help you out. And I went through days of really wanting people there and then not wanting people there. And I really feel for women who are delivering their babies now, like what you had to go through without your partner there a lot of the time, because you don't know when you need people and you don't know when you don't. But getting home, I remember sitting, like standing there crying, going, and I'd had it a couple of times in the hospital where I was like, oh, she doesn't feel like mine. Like it doesn't feel like my, what? And then I'd have like these hour surges of complete and utter love, but then it would go again. And I remember just watching her on the kitchen table going, it doesn't feel like I have a connection here. And it's really weird to see her
and
here.
And that's a horrible feeling because that goes against what society tells you you're supposed to feel. And people say to you, oh, are you just so in love? And you're like, oh, yeah, I am. And then you're like, what's wrong with me? You know, I feel like a monster or something, or am I not maternal enough? Am I not cut out for this? And I guess I just felt like everything was compounded, because not only was I feeling this way physically and hormonally and emotionally and everything, but I felt like no one else felt this way, because all I saw on Instagram was, you know, girls going off for their brunch and their beautiful walks with the baby within a matter of days of coming home from hospital. And if, of course, it's everyone, you know, it's up to yourself if you want to put out the best bits on Instagram, or if you want to keep it real. But I guess I had this idea of what early motherhood would be like. That's why I thought, once you have the baby, that's it. You're done. It's just the best thing ever then. And I just was so like, holy crap, like, sorry, I didn't mean to curse.
No, you're good. You're good. We've just had Anne Brophy on before you. You're fine.
Actually, I heard that. I was like, oh, woman after my own heart. But that's why I kind of started. I didn't consciously decide to start sharing, I guess, the reality of parenthood. I've always just shared. I've always shared everything for me. And people always, you know, say, oh, it's great that you do that because you normalize it for other people. But not only, I mean, the byproduct of me doing that is that I normalize it for other people who feel the same. But for me sharing, you know, the anxieties, or me sharing the fact that I'm sitting there crying, feeling like I'm inside out and upside down, that's a coping mechanism for me as much as anything else, because I need to have other people reflect back to me that it's okay to feel that way.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing. Like, when you're sharing the good, the bad and the ugly on social media, it's like, no more than you've talked before, and I've heard you on so many of your podcasts, which I love, and I've heard you chatting with Sheila Shoghi, and it's like this imposter syndrome. And I think sometimes you never feel more imposter syndrome than when you become a new mom, certainly for me, that you have those days and those moments where you feel that you're not able and you feel that you're not good enough.
I know. The imposter syndrome, it really gets amplified, and the self-doubt gets amplified so much when you're a first-time mom, I think. I mean, I just keep, no matter what's wrong with him, I keep going back to blaming myself. But if I've learned anything through all of my work and all the books and the podcasts about imposter syndrome, and I really think I've cracked it, it's that when you are willing to kind of close the gap on how you view yourself privately and with what you put out to the world, and when you own your vulnerability, the imposter syndrome kind of dissolves away.
Yes.
And I find that really powerful for me now. Like, I you know, I don't feel like an imposter, because I am vulnerable. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. I'm finding it overwhelming. I'm finding it hard to adjust. But I know that I'll get there. And I know now that I've put that out there to the world, and I've had countless messages. I mean, I've had massive connections with women I've never met from different corners of the world because of this. I know that it's really common. And I just hope that anyone who's, you know, going to have a baby now, especially in COVID times, knows that it's completely okay if you feel, you know, really lost at sea in those first couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You also, I thought that was great as well, that you were very honest that you stopped breastfeeding and you felt like that you kind of just needed to get that off your chest, excuse the pun.
Yeah, I know. The breastfeeding is, I guess, until you are a mother, you don't realise what a contentious issue it can be. People have very strong opinions about it. But I just, because I was already sharing, you know, everything anyway, I thought it would probably be disingenuous of me to not, I probably couldn't get away with not saying it because I share so much of my life, I suppose, on Instagram. But I also wanted some reassurance, I guess, and I wanted other women who made the decision to either not breastfeed at all or just to switch over to formula. I wanted them to feel like it was okay. And for me, I don't know whether... Sometimes I have these thoughts now where I obviously got the mom guilt and I think maybe did I give up too soon or anything. But really at the time, I only did it for a week, but I was so not okay. I wasn't getting any of the bonding feeling from it. And I was so stressed out and anxious that I just thought that it would be so much better for me to share the feeding with my partner and to take a little bit of myself back. And I know this probably a lot of people out there who wouldn't agree with that, but I really think and I really believe that the mother's mental health is just as important as the baby's well-being as well, because you can't, like they say, you can't pour from an empty cup, and I can't bond with him if I'm stressed out and crying my eyes out. Like, so now I have a much nicer experience feeding him, and you know, he's really happy little baby, and I've had so many women say to me, you know, thanking me for sharing that. Now I've also had women say to me, because he's had like problems with his digestion and stuff, so I've had a few people, not many, but some people say, well, you never would have had any of those problems if you had kept breastfeeding, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Obviously when you put yourself out there, you have to expect an amount of that, but I just think no matter what you do, everyone's doing their best for their baby, and whatever's right for you is the right thing, and that's all you can do.
You
really
do you. That's what I keep coming back to all the time. You do you. And listen, I think it's just, I love what you do. I love how you use Instagram in the way that is the right way, which is just be nothing but yourself. We wish you the best of luck going forward, Caroline. Lovely to
chat
to you today.
Thanks,
and give
Caitlin
a big squeeze from me.
Nice chat to you. Thank you. Bye.
Anish Toshe and I'm the Priyav Shgelt and the Nuk the Lakot the Valas.